I do this in my office. I fill myself up. I send love to my neighborhood, my city, my community, my state, my country, the globe. We can all do this. And this can be one simple way that we can have a positive impact on what is going on in our world.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And oh my goodness, I don't know about you, but all of this is getting old. We're getting close to our 350th episode. Can you believe it? I mean, I'm just surprised at this. Now, that's not what I mean about getting old. Sorry, I got to back up here a little bit. I'm going to say that all of the, you know, what we're 18, 19 months into the pandemic label and all sorts of other things. And you know what? My dear friend, Wendy Darling, wrote a fabulous book called Create Your Miraculous Life. It's never too late. And I just reached out to her not too long ago. And I said, you got to be on the show because I'm just getting tired of this. So I need like a little boost, a little, you know, a little little sprinkles and sparkly fairy dust to get me through all of this. So anyway, let me introduce Wendy. Believe it or not, she's always reinventing herself. That's one of her great superpowers. And during the time of the lockdown pandemic, she wrote this fabulous book that gives us all sorts of tools to reset our passion, our focus, our energy, and our mindset. And really, at this point in our lives, I think a lot of people are rethinking their life. I know I am. And so let's get ready and jump right into it, because Wendy is a recognized expert in navigating change and achieving our results. And yeah, I think she'll let me say this. She has more than 40 years experience in the business and life transformation world. She's also a keynote speaker, a master healing practitioner, and management and organizational development consultant, and so many other things. So welcome. Thanks for being on the show, Wendy.
Of course. I'm so delighted that we get to spend this time together.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And I know when we first popped on to the Zoom here, we had a couple of minutes before the show started to talk about, we were thinking about the last time we got to be together, and that was clear back in September of 2019. Doesn't seem that long.
I know. Like you said, it seems like a short time ago and a very long time ago.
Oh, I know. It's getting old, but congratulations on your latest book. This is fabulous. Oh,
thank you. It's always wonderful to actually complete a project and now to launch it, you know, and to be sharing it with other people.
Oh, and your books, and this is a compliment. I think people get a little weird when I say this, but it's an easy read. And that's a huge compliment, because you can read it quick and it's nugget size and you can understand it. You're not having to stop and think about, okay, what are the references to all of this? It's just packed with really great tips. Now, I know, Wendy, you understand what people are saying, but Sharon, this is like about creating a miraculous life. What happens if Wendy must be one of those blessed people that everything's perfect? But I know your story's not quite like that. So just share a little bit about your story and then we'll jump into the book.
No, in fact, first of all, if you would have asked me when I was a younger person who I wanted to be when I grew up, I'm fairly confident that the word miracle would not have been in the lineup. So early in my career, my very first, my undergraduate work was in elementary and secondary education. I taught for a year. I taught sixth grade. I had 45 sixth graders, which was actually very illegal at the time.
It sounds like a huge amount. even at, pre-pandemic. Yeah. I can't imagine 45. Wow.
Well, this is kind of a pattern of my life. I would find myself going places that no other person would go. And I used to get in trouble with my principal because they wanted my room to be quiet. And 45 kids breathing is noisy. And there's a whole lot more I could tell you about just that experience alone. And then I went back to graduate school, got 2 graduate degrees in counseling psychology. I later did postgraduate work in management and organizational development consulting. But after my first round of graduate work, I was very fortunate. I got a job as dean of students for a program called Semester at Sea. And we lived on a ship. We had about 700 plus college students from all over. And I got to be their mom. I was 28. Wow.
45 to 700, Wendy, what are you thinking?
Well, that's a good question too. You know, I don't think I was, but that was how I was. You know, somebody said, can you do this? And it was like, of course I can do this. And I would somehow figure it out. And when I got back from that position, because it's only a semester at a time, but oh my gosh, Sharon, what a great opportunity. I got to travel literally around the world. I got to experience countries and cultures that I probably would not, under normal circumstances, have had those kind of experiences. And dean of students was my long-term goal. It was my first job out of graduate school. So it's like, what do I really want to do? And training and development was in infancy at the time. And I had a couple of different opportunities, went to work for the state of Missouri under the governor's office. And we oversaw all 15 departments. So it was a massive experience in working with all different types of positions and industries. It was a wonderful training ground. And I ended up starting my own business in 1981. So 40 years ago, which is very hard to believe.
And it is hard to believe, because when you said that too, I was thinking when I started my own, which was 79, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not counting the years until somebody points it out.
I know. I think it can be very sobering.
Yes, and, it is, because it's just yesterday in my mind.
I know. It just doesn't seem possible, does it? And so, meanwhile, I'm consulting with a Fortune 100 company. And these are back in the days that I was more of a workaholic. And probably, I think it's safe to say, not taking as good a care of myself as I might today. And I was really, really sick, but I was supposed to be flying from Texas to LA to work with a group of my clients. And I went outside the Dallas airport to get some fresh air, and I passed out, and I fell over a ledge, and I fell 25 feet.
Oh my gosh.
So the good news is I landed on my right leg, my right foot. The bad news is I landed on my right foot. So my right leg was shattered. I had multiple surgeries, several surgeries. And it took about, over a period of about 10-ish months. And that's when I learned I was actually going to be able to walk again. I also had some lower back fractures. Quite a ways down the road, I was also diagnosed with a traumatic brain injury. You know, this was 1990? Sounds good right in this moment. And, you know, brain injuries were not as common in conversations, much less diagnoses, as they are today.
Or understood the extent of the unseen, the invisible part of them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And while I was still in the hospital, week 4, the first time, my former husband came, suitcases packed, saying he no longer wished to be married. And even though I take full responsibility for my portion that contributed to that decision, we probably could agree that the timing was not exactly optimal, not that it ever might be. And if that was not enough, the real blow came when we went to court. And my former husband happens to be an attorney, And he was awarded full custody of our son, who was only 4 and a half at the time. And that is when I really, really broke into a lot of pieces. And it was my mom who suggested that I might want to learn how to meditate. And at that point, and first of all, that was kind of interesting that it came from my mom. But quieting my mind was a complete oxymoron. And yet, desperate times, right? So I found somebody, I was living in Dallas at the time, found somebody that was teaching meditation in their home with a small group. And I remember after a couple of times going to Michael, the instructor, and basically saying, you know, it's really interesting. Every time I feel like I'm almost, like my mind's almost going to relax, I get this urge to sing. And he said, well, sing. And I actually started laughing. I said, you don't understand. I actually have people in my life who request I not do that. And so he just looked at me. He said, come on, see what happens. So I go back to my little spot in his home and I get into that space. And out of me came this melodic type of singing. And for the first time in a really long time, not only did my mind begin to relax, but so did my body. And so, as I mentioned, I was living in Dallas, and what they say is true, everything is a little bit bigger. And I would go into my walk-in closet and do my meditation and singing. And I was very much in the closet about all of this, especially what was eventually going to start happening. So now I'm back at Michael's house, the instructors. We're now finished with our little group meditation or whatever. I'm walking down a hall. I pass by one of the other people in our little small group. And out of my mouth, I'm passing him by. I go, you have a block around your heart. And I'm thinking to myself, where did that come from? And so I'm walking further. And Michael's son, who was just a teen at the time, but a really intuitive young man, I hear him somewhere way back behind me saying, hey, to the same person, you got a block around your heart. And I'm thinking, what is happening to me? You know, here I am, this traditional trainer, consultant, you know, and suddenly I'm seeing energy. I'm seeing blocks, all these things are happening and I didn't understand. But being who I am, I've always been a very curious person. You know, I started playing with this and I started working with whoever I could get my little hands on. And ultimately, this has now evolved into what I refer to as the miraculous living method. So yes, there is a sound healing component, which raises the frequency. It's a high vibration. Also, in around 2000, I started to get these little niggles, and I started to download designs that also have a frequency to them. So the sound healing by itself is very effective. The designs also hold a frequency in them. They too are effective, but when they're combined, they create a very unique circuitry. And so you put your hands on the cards, you listen to the audio, or me, because obviously sometimes it's me doing healing work. And then a critical component that I realized now quite some time ago is a brain training component, where we're able to either strengthen existing neural pathways or create new ones. So what that means is it's estimated that we have approximately 60,000 thoughts a day. Now, the majority of those thoughts are under the radar in our subconscious, meaning you're not even aware that this whole chitty chat conversation is going on. But it's commanding, it's telling, it's sharing, and it's influencing. It's why, for example, you decide to start a quote diet on Monday, and by Tuesday, it's derailed because there's too much opposition. The same is true when you start a project and you get stuck and you find yourself procrastinating. They're what I refer to as mischief makers.
Mischief makers.
So I've been blessed now that I have this beautiful process. I'm still this traditional girl over here, but I'm doing this over here so people get easier, faster results. So I've helped people with their business, whether it's a company. Now, I don't do as much with this side if I go into an organization, but I work with entrepreneurs to help grow their business, make more money. We raise their financial set point. We open up their ability to receive. And there are many other components to that. I work with singles to attract love, couples to replenish their relationship, children that maybe have learning disabilities or challenges of some sort. I've worked with women who have been abused, and we could just keep going with examples. And what also is very different is we design the life that you want to be living, and it comes from your deep, honest, authentic desires. And I have a way of helping to, you know, really open up to that, because we don't have to figure out what happened at age two or what limiting belief or whatever. The process takes care of that interference and undercurrent. So what's beautiful about it is you do not have to figure it out. You do not have to relive an unpleasant experience that you probably have already lived in your mind, God only knows how many times. And it's a very gentle, easy way to close that gap from where you are to where you want to be.
That's fantastic. We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk to Wendy some more about beautiful book she wrote, Create Your Miraculous Life, It's Never Too Late, and more about her Miraculous Living course and institute. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone. And we're here with Wendy Darling. She's the author of Create Your Miraculous Life. It's never too late. It's out now. And it's all about resetting the course, finding our passion again, or a new passion, perhaps. And it seems like a lot of people are reconsidering their life these days, regardless of whether you have a diagnosis or not. And I know, Wendy, you talk a lot in the book about two things that I'm just such a huge fan of. And I think a lot of people say good idea, but have trouble implementing. And the first is intention. And the second is all about the curiosity aspect of it, imagination and curiosity idea of it. So let's talk a little bit about the power of setting an intention.
You know, I remember when I first heard about setting an intention, it was even hard for me to grasp. I didn't quite understand the intention of an intention. And
I'm up there with that too. It took me a while to understand that concept.
Yeah. And how to possibly position that. I think at least the way I use it today is I feel it helps to kind of move us in a certain direction. So if I have the intention of doing 3 tasks in the next 2 hours, that's an intention. So it kind of dials me in to, okay, I've got 2 hours to take care of these tasks or whatever it might be. I might have the intention to nourish myself, eat a certain way in my day, to care for my body in a certain way. I may have the intention of drinking water. It helps to focus, dial in what it is. And I feel that there, you know, obviously now I work a lot. I'm very grounded. I'm very strategic, but I work with energy also. And I think intentions help to dial in what it is that you're really wanting to experience and the results you're wanting to get. So I see it as more of a dialing mechanism.
Yeah, you were using the word focus, and for me, intention is and focus are very closely related. In regards to things like healing the body and stuff, intention is extremely powerful. I've run into people who might verbalize, "Yes, I want to get better," but a lot of the mindset is all about what I like to call secondary gains, or what else is keeping them stuck with that diagnosis. Why is their body still in dis-ease? So I find it important to understand where the path you're setting and understanding why you're setting it, because oftentimes we can get stuck in one way of thinking. And I know that's where this idea of creativity and imagination and being able to see yourself in a different place is critically important. So let's talk a little bit about how you work with people so they can actually see a different future.
You know, the old phrase, fake it till you make it, sometimes it's really important. And to help begin to visualize, or at least feel, start to imagine, what is it going to feel like for you to be healthy again, for example, whatever that might be, whether it be to be, imagine being pain-free, imagine what it's like to have energy. You know, I mentioned I had a brain injury, and one of the consequences of that, even still today, is I'm more challenged to visualize internally. But it made me recognize how invaluable. I may not be able to visualize it all, but I can feel it. And I think sometimes people are blocked at the visualization part. Maybe not. Maybe it's easier for a lot of people. But you really want to get to, how does it feel when you can imagine? And you know, it's a stretch. You know, in my case, you know, I too have an autoimmune disorder. I'm blessed. I've been able to help myself a lot. We've talked about this. I don't think about it unless we're in conversations like, oh yeah, right. But it's like, how do I feel? Or in my case, I can gain weight really easily. And I've been trying to tell my body, we don't really need to be doing that anymore. And so it's even feeling like, oh yeah, that's what it feels like, you know, when I'm feeling healthy and energetic and lean and you know, strong and all of those good things. And so when you get to that place, what happens energetically is you're now creating an environment inside of your body that is comfortable and relaxing, and your body wants to be healthy. We just have to create the right environment to allow the body to do what the body knows how to do. But if you're also thinking, oh, I'm in so much pain, or I'll never be able to whatever, fill in the blank, that creates interference in the body's ability to heal. That's why healing our mind, having a healthier mindset, is so critical. That's why allowing your heart to lead the way in being healthy can also make a big, big difference.
Oh, I'm glad you brought those up. And the one thing that I wanted to circle back around, just so people maybe hear it a second time, is sometimes when we're focused on something, be it the pain or the label or woe is me or whatever it can be, it's very hard for even us with, you know, without a brain injury. As you mentioned, your brain injury might be the limiting, but I know oftentimes from other people in the community, they're like, oh, I never looked at it that way, or oh, I never thought of it that way. And it could just be their culture, their background, their upbringing, their life experiences. They just never had that opportunity to look at something in a very unique way. And that's where I think it's important for not only shows like this, but other opportunities, reading books like your book, so people can go, oh, gosh, take note of that. That's a new way I hadn't thought of. I was talking to a friend of ours, Yvonne Heath, the other day. She's been on the show. She's a grief expert, everyone. Check out understandingautoimmune.com and just look in the search bar for Yvonne Heath or grief and listen to her show too, because it's great. We were talking about compassion fatigue, and actually she's going to be on the show in a few weeks talking about it. I was lining her up to be it. But she was talking about compassion fatigue, and she gave me this moment where she was telling me that, you know, that's a lot of people dial it back then, like, oh, I'm going to go inside. I'm just too fatigued. I'm going to go take care of myself. And she was commenting, really, it's a more freeing experience when you continue to share and give joy, whether you're able to wear a silly hat and share some laughter with somebody or spread joy actually helps you out of compassion fatigue quicker than circling back and burrowing in for a while. So anyway, just an idea of ways to look at things differently. And that's part of what Wendy's book is about, is looking at things differently. So you can go, oh, I never thought of it that way.
In addition to what you were just saying, it is important to go within, but it's a dance. We also need to find other ways to give and to contribute, even if it's just a little something. You know, we're not, you know, when we need to rejuvenate, it's just such a critical part. But also to be able to share with somebody or somebodies, you know, what you're going through, and having that listening makes a huge difference as well. Because a lot of people, when they are struggling with something, feel uncomfortable sharing, that maybe, you know, you don't like the fact that you're dealing with this. Maybe you're embarrassed by it. Maybe you just feel, hey, I got to take care of this on my own. And the reality is, I can ask you this question, Sharon. It's a simple question. How does it feel to you when you contribute to a friend or somebody that's struggling, to be able to support them?
Two words came to mind. It feels very comfortable. I like it, the feeling of it, and invigorating. I like when I've been helpful. And that could be anything from taking over a meal if they need it to be, and listening, or just dropping a note, depending on what the person's preference is. Sometimes people do like to burrow in for a little bit, and just getting a handwritten note. So so many ways you can contribute.
And the reason I'm asking that question is because for most of us, I mean, we're even in a profession where we're constantly supporting other people, is it's a very fulfilling, gratifying feeling to lend a helping hand in whatever form that might be. So if you are somebody, though, that is struggling, why deprive that other person of a very satisfying experience? If you can't do it for yourself at first, at least recognize, wait, you mean you won't let me support you? Please, you know, it's as good for me as it might be for you. So I like to bring that up for people that might be hesitant to ask for support.
And we have to be careful, because sometimes when we ask for support and someone says no, it can be taken so personally in that moment, and who knows what else is going on in their life. You know, it could have been just bad timing or other things going on in their life, which then I've noticed sometimes becomes this rolling ball of then, okay, well, I got a no last time. I'm afraid to ask anyone, not just that person, but I'm afraid to ask and be vulnerable again, which is something that I like to say, you know, keep reigniting yourself, because don't allow yourself to get stuck by just having one person with bad timing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we really are all in this together. We were not designed to live at little mountaintops and, you know, meditate away individually. We're better when we're connected and together. And I think one of the things that has come out of this pandemic, it is, first of all, the missing of seeing people, of interacting with people on a regular basis. And thank God for FaceTime and Zoom, at least, to be able to connect in some way, because as technologically oriented as we are, human connection is critical. You want to talk about improving your health, there is a direct correlation to the degree in which you are connecting with others. I'm not saying that you have to do it on a mass scale, but that connection piece makes a big difference in people's lives. I've had such compassion and concern for people that are single, living alone while we've been in shutdowns and not able to be with other people. You know, I think it's been challenging for everybody in their own unique way, but particularly people living alone. It's like, oh.
No, absolutely. And one of the things I love technology. I've talked to friends, what would we have done if we're going through this pandemic, pre-video conferencing types of things. However, every so often I'll just have a friend, I'll just get a text, a random text, you know, sending you a hug or something like that. And it's even a simple little act that takes you, 5 seconds to send a text is a great way to bring in just this joyous little thought, like, oh, they just wandered through my mind and I smiled because they just wandered through my mind there. And I had some great memories. So a lot of times it doesn't have to take a lot of your time.
No. And, you know, it's really interesting. You just never know. So my mom, for example, up until a couple of weeks ago, has been in memory care. And because of COVID, I was restricted from seeing her for a very long time. You know, we were able to FaceTime, but my mom no longer speaks, so it made it challenging, but at least we got to see each other. And during that period of time, I was sending emails to both the director of the memory care unit and then also the CEO of the whole facility, because it's a large facility here in Southern California. And she recently told me, she said, you do not know how much those, she has told me multiple times actually, but she said, how much those emails meant to me. And she said, and it was so interesting because they seemed to show up right at the time that I really could benefit from just somebody saying something nice. And so that gets to your point. I was really doing that, not to get acknowledged. I was doing it because they were having to deal with such tremendous pressures of trying to keep both their staff and their residents safe and healthy. Because as you know, that older adult population was the most vulnerable. And so, so we don't ever know. I've had people from long time ago that I might have said something to them, and we have this chance meeting, and they're like, oh my gosh, when you said blank, I didn't even remember saying something, but it changed their life in some way. And this was not like a client or, you know, it was just a chance something.
I ran into a person that I hadn't seen. She'd living across country and actually moved out this way. I ran into her last month, and we decided to go for a nice walk around the park. Of course, all, you know, doing all the social distance things. But she mentioned to me something I said to her, a little story I told her. And you know what? Maybe 15 years ago, and how much it impacted her life. You know, for the life of me, I can't remember the story.
Right, exactly. And so, we don't know. And it does take just a little bit of effort. But I think it's also because there are different pressures. We all live a little too much maybe on our devices. Personal connection is even becoming even more important today, especially with what we're going through, and especially with our world being so troubled and disjointed and divisive, and we'll stop with those adjectives for now. We need people like you, like me, like others, you know, really sending out a lot of love. David Hawkins, you're probably familiar with his body of work. Power versus Force was how he wrote this up. And it's a 30-year study that culminated in him creating a scale that correlated emotions to energetic frequencies. So one of the lowest level frequency is shame. And then you can imagine, you know, anger, frustration, sadness. And so he was able to measure these and quantify it in terms of how it translated to energy. And then we keep going up, and ultimately it's love. And what I love about what he was able to demonstrate and conclude is that if we are coming from a place of love, we can empower and shift people in the lower level frequencies. So one of the first times I played with this was just a tiny little experiment. I was in a restaurant, and our waiter seemed very stressed and rushed. And so my girlfriend and I just sent him love. He comes back, he's in a great mood, we got great service. Okay, so that's just one little tiny. I teach kids this, who, when we talk about what they refer to as bullies, teaching them that these are just people, children, whose hearts have been stomped on. And this is how they've learned how to cope. And their love wells are empty. And they can just stand there or sit there silently and send. First, you always want to fill yourself up with love. You just have to imagine it. And then you send love to that person, and you can fill up their love well without them ever knowing it. But Hawkins also demonstrates that I do this in my office. I fill myself up. I send love to my neighborhood, my city, my community, my state, my country, the globe. We can all do this. And this can be one simple way that we can have a positive impact on what is going on in our world. Because people are not mean and angry because they just want to be mean and angry. There are wounds there. And this is how they are dealing with that. And so that's one very simple way we can make a difference.
I love that. And we need to take a quick commercial break. And let's take this time as we're listening to our quick commercial break of filling ourselves up with love. And I just want to put a little yes and there. as you fill yourself up with love, it does not run out. It's not like pouring a pitcher and all of a sudden the pitcher is empty. It continues to refill itself, which is what's so wonderful. So let's all just take a moment and fill ourselves up with love, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome back. Oh my goodness, I'm feeling so much different energetically, filling myself up with love. Thank you, Wendy. That was awesome. A wonderful little thing during that commercial break. And Wendy's been sharing from her book, Create Your Miraculous Life, It's Never Too Late, as well as some of the work from Miraculous Living Institute, where she provides courses and trainings on just the types of things that we've been talking about. Now, when we talk about it's never too late, reminds me sort of time. And I know in the book you have a result accelerator. And so sometimes people are saying, well, but Sharon, I've been doing it forever, and I still am. So let's talk about the technique that you call a results accelerator.
Yeah, I don't remember any longer how this came to me. It was probably one of those great little downloads. But I've always wanted to look for, I've always been open and trying to find ways that my clients can get easier, faster results. And so I already had a structure of 10 areas of life. And what I found is if I could test, I use muscle testing, applying kinesiology at times to determine this. So let's say, for example, you want to make more money. Well, I look to see what area in your life is going to help you accelerate your results. So, for example, there was a person that I worked with now quite some time ago. His business was rapidly declining, and he didn't understand what was happening and wanted to stop the bleeding. He was really concerned. This was early on when I started using this process. His entry point, his results accelerator, was he was to start dating. Now, I'm sharing this because in my world, I would not have recommended that. I said, listen, let's get your business up and running again, and then let me help you with this dating thing and relationship thing. And so he was a little perplexed too. I said, well, are you willing to trust the process? And so we did. And I want you to know, I helped him with his online profile. He started interacting with women. Literally 3 weeks after he started this, he connected with a woman in Brazil. He was living in Costa Rica at the time. She was in Brazil. They just had this amazing connection. And within then just a few weeks of that, I don't remember exactly the timeline. It wasn't much. It could have even been less. I think it was around 3 weeks. Out of the sky, he gets this huge contract. And not only did that start his trajectory in the way that he wanted, but because of the kind of consulting work that he did, he was not restricted to living in a certain place. Within 3 months, he moved to Brazil. Wow. So that's one example. Another example was a woman that came to me to release weight, excess weight. And she came to me because I assisted a good friend of hers to release 40 pounds in about 4 months. And she got off of most of her medication. It was really beautiful what transpired. This woman's entry point, her results accelerator, had to do with her career. And she was not happy with me. She said, I did not come here to talk about my career. So after a little conversation, you know, I encouraged her, let's just trust the process. Turns out she was really unhappy in her job. I encouraged her, we talked about it, and I said, well, test the waters. Maybe there's something better out there for you. I helped her freshen up her resume, and I exaggerate none. In 3 weeks' time, she had a new job. And then she transitions ultimately into this job. And guess what happens? She starts releasing her weight. So, and then I have to be honest, sometimes it is, you know, health to health. Sometimes it is business to business. So it's not always different, but more times than not, it is. And the other thing about it is that it can change over time. What is your results accelerator today? That's why you need to kind of re-examine every month or two and just see if that's really where you need to focus. It's not that you ignore your target. It's just that you make sure that this is in the equation, and it makes such a difference. And if anybody's interested, either the link to your results accelerator is in my book, or you can reach out to me, wendy@wendydarling.com, and I'll be happy to share the link. But of course, I'm biased. I'd love for you to get the book.
Now, I have a couple of quick questions and a thought about this, because I wish I know who to attribute the quote to. I've heard it said multiple ways. It's like how you do one thing is how you do everything. So it makes sense how business could be affecting weight, or love life could be affecting business, that kinds of things. It makes sense. But if we're to do it with ourselves, what are a couple of the things that we can focus on that helps us narrow down, like, okay, what is that one thing that I'm doing that seems to be affecting all things? Do you have some tips? So sort of a self-help method of it?
Let me think about that for a very quick second. You know, I think we, a lot of times, are aware of where what I referred to earlier as our mischief makers. And so we need to look at what's happening. You know, in my process, we remove those. And so that you have there's less of a chance of reoccurrence. And sometimes it can be layers. You know, you get a certain place and then it's like, oops. But that's where using the process can really make a difference. So for example, with somebody's health, you know that you need to be eating a certain way. Well, I'm a big believer in planning. You know, make sure that you have the foods that you need available. Stay nourished so you don't get over hungry. And because when you get over hungry, there's a tendency to lose sight of what really nourishes you. Suddenly everything sounds really good. And we tend to be weaker in those moments. So I think creating a structure really helps, no matter if we're talking about your health and having foods available. You know, I like, when possible, to prepare multiple things so that I can have things available. Probably like you, my days are very full, they're very busy. So I need things that I can kind of grab and utilize, because I have to watch my blood sugar. I need to make sure I'm nourishing myself properly, because I want to be the best for you, my clients, the people that I serve. So, and then if it's your business, the same thing. You know, if you have a project, if you have a deadline, don't make it into this big deal. It's like when I wrote my first book, I thought, how can I write a book? You know, 200 pages is something that I might think about, be able to express. But I chunked it down and I went, oh, you know, I've been writing articles for years. Isn't a chapter kind of like an article? Well, whatever your project is, chunk it down. Don't look at the whole nine yards. Look at just your next little piece and structure your time. You know, right now I have a program that's already created, but I'm getting it digitized. So I have to be writing things out for them to take care of it. Well, in my calendar, I have time structured to dedicate to that very specific something. So, and that's been a gift of my brain injury because it has forced me to become even more structured than I ever have been. But it also serves me because I see that's how I make better progress. If it doesn't live in my calendar, more times than not, it doesn't live. I am no different than the next person. I can fill amazing amounts of time with very little anything. So I think that's something that's very simple, is to find ways to chunk what you need down and structure your time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like to do some journaling as well, because then I can see patterns. Sometimes it's hard to see your patterns that keep you caught. And I too have a calendar that's pretty full with things that I'm supposed to do. I chunk it down into my day, and that's helpful as well. But sometimes I write down what it is and I read back through the journal. I'm like, oh my goodness, there is the pattern. Okay.
Yeah, that's also very effective. Well, self-awareness is an important part of our lives today, you know, to take responsibility for that. I journal most every morning. You know, I share what's on my heart, you know, even if it's like last night we had a huge storm here in San Diego, which is very uncommon. And where we had major, major thunder boomers and lightning. I mean, it was like, whoa, you know, our house was just shaking. And of course, it coincides with our garage door being broken, right? And they're coming to fix it today, but we had to have our cars parked outside during this wonderful storm. And of course, I had just washed my car as well. I mean, minor things, but it was kind of like, of course, this is happening now.
I think it's sometimes it's funny how we use that phrase, of course, this is happening now, as the patterns unfold. We're just down to about last 5 minutes. I want to make sure that you can share any final thoughts and then where we can find your book.
Yeah, so I'll go to that meet first, and then I'll see what else comes to mind. But thank you for asking. The easiest way to get in touch with me is going to my website, wendy@wendydarling.com. There's a way that you can connect with me personally for a heart-to-heart, just to see if what I do is something that fits for you, is of interest to you. And then also there's an RQ assessment, how you relate. It's relationship quotient. And it gives you a sense of how you kind of relate with other people, what your strengths are, maybe things you need to watch out for. And then also there's an audio. But what this will provide is it will put you on my email list. So you'll be able to get my blogs where I interview people who share about their miraculous moments. And of course, upcoming anythings, you know, programs that I might be offering. So that is how you can reach me. And then also wendy@wendydarling.com. Email me if you have questions or if you're interested in what I refer to as a jumpstart offer. I've decided to do that. I've not done this before, but it's a two-part session with me, where we look at what you're wanting to create and the results that you're wanting to experience. I literally teach you the process. I give it to you. You work on it and we have a follow-up. I don't feel comfortable just giving my process to somebody and saying, may the force be with you. I want to make sure that it's working for you as well.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Wendy, for sharing it with us. It's a wonderful read. The title of the book is called Create Your Miraculous Life. It's Never Too Late at wendydarling.com, as well as other outlets for books on the web. As Wendy, thank you so much for sharing with us everything. And people, join me next week for another brand new episode. Check us out over in the social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or beyond. It's always Understanding Autoimmune. And the website is understandingautoimmune.com to catch all the previous episodes. Have a great week, whatever your adventures. I'll see you next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.